Need your daily fix on mixed martial arts?
We're going to kind of recap Bellator 155.
From UFC 198.
Who's who.
Kind of a controversial decision.
And who's not.
I couldn't figure out why, and then it hit me.
Well, don't you fret, because Golden State Media Concepts got you covered. Get your daily dose of MMA podcasts. Everything from the UFC, Bellator Fighting Championships, Extreme Cage Fighting, Invicta Fighting Championships, and so much more. Join us as we talk about some of the biggest names in mixed martial arts. We've got you covered here on Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to the Golden State Media Concepts Mixed Martial Arts Podcast. I'm your host, Tate. And we're just coming off a nice, fun weekend where we had a couple events. One from UFC Fight Night in Brazil, and also Invicta FC 19. So we're going to be covering the fights here. The first one we're going to cover is the annihilation that would be Chris Cyborg annihilating Leon Lindsberg. And then we're going to talk about some of the other fights on the card. And then we're going to roll into a little bit of Invicta FC and talk about that. And also kind of what can be done to make the Invicta FC a much more of a household name. Anyway, I'm Tate. I'm your host. And we come back, we'll be touching on these fights.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
All right, we're back. And this, like I said before, this was a pretty full weekend. But the main showcase of this weekend was the second time that Chris Cyborg was going to have an appearance on a UFC card. The big difference is this is the card that she is actually going to be the headliner on. Chris Cyborg was going to be the main event. It was UFC Fight Night. Chris Cyborg versus Leon Lindsberg, and a lot of people just wanted to see kind of how would Cyborg perform. And one of the things, a lot of people who hadn't seen Lena but had heard a lot about her, and some of the experts was expecting this was going to be the one fighter that's coming in that could give Cyborg a big run for her money. Mix in the fact that Cyborg was having one heck of a time making weight, and there was a lot of talk about her making weight. I remember seeing a picture of her when she was about 10 pounds out, and she was going through, you know, torture to get down to that 141-pound weight limit. And the question was, number one, could Cyborg make the weight? Because a lot of people didn't think she would, and especially when Lena made the decision that if she doesn't make weight, she was not going to fight Cyborg. So that was the first thing. The second question was, okay, if Cyborg does make weight, will she be the same Chris Cyborg? Because she was going to be dehydrated, and, you know, she's going to be really weakened. And so that was the big question in this fight. And then you mix in the fact that Lena was one of those fighters who she felt comfortable. She made all the right statements that, you know what, she's not going to avoid Chris. She's going to her plan was to bloody Chris up and beat her up. And so she was going to come to fight. So everyone wanted to see, number one, could Chris actually, is this going to be the person that's actually going to give Chris a hard time? And with the weight loss, is this the perfect fight for an upset? And guys, within the first minute of this fight, all questions were answered. Chris came in, and it was a different fight. Like, she came in very patient, and I was kind of concerned about Chris Cyborg as well, but she came in very patient, and you could tell she came in to showcase her skills. And instantly, when they locked up, and Lena ended up kind of locking up with Chris Cyborg, instantly, the first thing I noticed was there was a massive difference in strength. Cyborg was just, it seemed like she was twice as strong as Lena Lenzberg was. And so Cyborg could pin her up against the fence, and Lena had no answer. She couldn't get off the fence. Whenever things got twisted around, Cyborg could turn her right back to the fence whenever she wanted to. Lena was known as the queen of elbows, but it was Cyborg that was landing the elbows and the knees, and it was like shot after shot after shot. The thing that I think a lot of people were a little shocked on was the fact that this fight actually went longer than a round. Most of Cyborg's fights, when she's kind of outclassed or she's fighting someone in Invicta, has only lasted about a minute, a little under a minute. This fight, Lena was actually a very tough game fighter, so the fight actually went into the second round. And the question is, was she really a game fighter? Was Cyborg? It just seemed like Cyborg was just working on her skills, trying to showcase her skills. She showed a little her takedown, how strong she is with the takedown and her Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and her ground and pound. And man, let me tell you something, Lena got pounded. She didn't really put up much of a fight whatsoever. There was one point where Cyborg has Lena up against the fence, and she's tagging her left and right. And you look over, and there's a smile on Cyborg's face, and she's enjoying what she's doing. And that was kind of surprising. There was no threat that Cyborg. There was nothing that Cyborg ever thought she was really in any danger there. And so in the end, Lena was eventually in the second round, was stopped by a TKO. And, you know, it was one of those things where now the question is, everyone wanted to see kind of like, what was the pay-per-view numbers? Are they enough that, that warrants Cyborg actually pulling in? Is she a big enough draw? And the numbers I thought was pretty decent. It was interesting talking to Cyborg and listening to Cyborg after the fight, because, you know, she mentioned that she has two belts at home, being the current one, the 145 champion in Invicta. She said she has two belts at home. She doesn't need a belt. So that was her way of saying she didn't want to fight Amanda Nunes, which that was no surprise to me because of the fact that Cyborg and Amanda Nunes have shown a lot of respect for each other. So Cyborg's not going after Amanda Nunes right now. What she did say, though, is she would love to keep fighting in the UFC, but she would like a super fight. You know, now, you know, she said she understood the fact that before, when you bring in Ronda Rousey, it was a whole talk of she's the 135-pound champion. And, you know, but now she said now that Ronda Rousey is no longer champion, she has a hard time. She's willing to cry to get down to 140, and they could, and Ronda Rousey and some of the other top 10 fighters can eat a little extra pizza to get up to 140, and let's make some super fights. And I agree with her on that. I would love to see her fight some of the best UFC has to offer. There's a few fighters that I think about when I come in and I say, who are the people that I think could actually give Chris Cyborg a real run for her money? And the people that come to mind is this. Everyone wants to see the Ronda Rousey fight, and so do I. I would love to see her fight Miesha Tate. I would love to see her fight Kat Zingano. Holly Holm. I think Holly Holm is that one fighter that I think would be incredibly dangerous for Cyborg. You know, Holly may not have the wrestling skills, but Holly's boxing skills are second to none. And I think that could give Chris Cyborg a really tough time. And then the other person I would like to see is actually one of the Invicta contenders, which I've mentioned before, is Megan Anderson. Megan's actually as big as Cyborg is. She's improving each time she fights. So that's another person I would love to see Cyborg fight. And then Joanne Duranami is another one. So there are some fights out there that Cyborg could actually take within the UFC, and I think they would all be big draws, except for maybe the Megan Anderson fight. That's more of an Invicta level fight. But as a whole, there's not a shortage of dance partners that could actually go in and make Cyborg. And I think there's a lot of people that would line up to see that fight. So that concludes my take on the Chris Cyborg fight. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the undercard fights that went on from the Roy Nelson Bigfoot Silva fight, Nova versus Henry Morrell. We're going to talk about those fights. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
All right, we're back. And I was just covering how Chris Cyborg kind of annihilated Lena Lensberg. Before I switch away and go to the undercard and the co-main event, I wanted to touch on a little bit about Lena Lensberg. She did get beat up pretty bad with Chris Cyborg, but that doesn't mean she can't be a contender in the UFC. Chris Cyborg, the biggest issue with Cyborg was her size. Cyborg was too big, too strong. But with some of the other fighters in the UFC and the 135 division, they're not going to be as strong as Chris Cyborg. And Lena showed she's a game fighter. She can take a shot. Man, think about it. She actually took Cyborg to the second round. So I hope this isn't the last time we see Lena in a UFC ring, because I would love to see her fight some of the other fighters that are in the top 10, because I think she could compete in that division. And I think she's a very charismatic interview. I think a lot of people would get behind her once she got some momentum going. And so with that, you know, even after she got beat up by Cyborg, and she did get beat up, she talked about how it was fun. You know, she was a lot stronger than Lena expected, but she had a really great time. There's not a lot of fighters out there that can get beat down by Chris Cyborg and say, hey, it was a good time. So I would love to look forward to seeing her again in a UFC ring. Now, let's talk about that co-main event. And for the last few years, I just haven't been. It was Roy Nelson versus Antonio Bigfoot Silva. And the last few years, I have felt like Silva has just been a shot fighter. And I hate to say this, but I've been kind of concerned of, you know, should he be fighting any longer or fighting the UFC? And, you know, because he's been getting knocked out at a pretty fast pace here. And so it was an interesting, though, fight, because you actually had Roy Nelson and Antonio Big Foot Silva, who were actually really great friends. And that's a very tough thing for me to wrap my head around, is how you can have two guys that are great friends actually get in the ring and literally try to beat the crap out of each other. But this was one of those cases. And if you watch some of the embedded about this, you know, they show Roy Nelson coming in to see Antonio Silva. This is before the fight is happening, but they're going to a sushi bar together, just catching up. They're great friends. And then when this fight was scheduled, one of the things they all had planned is after this fight, we're going to do a barbecue together and get our families together and have a great time. That is a very tough thing for me to, Matt, you know, just for me to think, take one of my best buddies and I'm going to beat the crap out of him, or he's going to beat the crap out of me. And then we're going to barbecue up a little bit after the fight and have a good time. That's a tough one. Well, anyway, this fight happened. And initially, when you look at this fight and you say Roy Nelson, all he does is throw giant bombs and he can take a shot. And then you have Antonio Bigfoot Silva is another guy, a very heavy-handed man who throws nothing but big shots, very suspect chin. And you look around and I say, man, even when I sat down, I said, this is going to last about 30, 40 seconds, and we're going to be on to the main event. I was taking Roy Nelson to knock him out fast. But Bigfoot actually showed, like, this is the best I think Bigfoot looked in a long time. And in the end, Bigfoot ended up losing the fight, but he ended up getting knocked out in the second round. But this is the first time in a long time that I watched Bigfoot fight, and he actually showcased a lot of his skills. He was able to take a number of great shots from Roy Nelson, which most times when I see Bigfoot Silva taking a shot, I instantly expect him to fall. Second of all, he moved really well. He threw a lot of really great kicks. I thought he looked good in the ring, honestly, which I wasn't expecting that, but he did. So this fight went on. I thought it was a very close first round. Went into the second round. Once again, Bigfoot Silva was looking good. Roy Nelson's looking good. And then Bigfoot Silva gets nailed, and Bigfoot Silva goes down. And Roy Nelson jumps on top of him. He doesn't jump on top. He starts doing the ground and pound on him. And he fires a couple of shots. And you could tell he doesn't want to pound him out like you would normally pound out a fighter. And he ended up throwing a few extra shots that Roy Nelson was not happy about before Big John McCarthy jumped in. And when the fight was stopped, Roy Nelson was highly upset. He was not happy with Big John McCarthy. And the big shocking thing of this fight was that Roy Nelson walked over to John McCarthy as he was down over top of Bigfoot Silva, and he threw a light little push kick onto Big John McCarthy. And people jumped in to stop him, and Roy Nelson actually flipped Big John McCarthy off. And it was a huge surprise. First off, I know they're friends, but, you know, I'm a fan of Roy Nelson, but I think the UFC has to step in and have to do something about the fact that he laid hands on Big John McCarthy. First off, Big John McCarthy is the top referee in mixed martial arts. Second off, you know, I know you were fighting your friend, and even Roy Nelson said, you know, Silva doesn't need any more shots to the head. And so he was really upset about that. But the fact of the matter is, I don't think that Big John McCarthy stopped the fight early. I thought Roy Nelson was completely and totally out of line for doing the push kick to Big John. And, you know, I'm wondering if there's going to be some type of punishment given out to Roy Nelson, because if you don't punish Roy Nelson, you are setting a precedent where the referees are not safe any longer. Because how are you going to say, okay, when's that barrier when you can put a push kick on a referee? What's next, a punch? And, you know, and it wasn't anything dangerous or anything. It was more of a push, kind of push him over kind of situation. But you cannot have any fighter lay a hand on any referee. And it doesn't matter whether in the United States or Brazil. That should never, ever happen. And so I am wondering if there's going to be some type of punishment or some fine or something given down to Roy Nelson for what he's done. So I'm very curious about seeing what happens here. Next is, where does this do for Roy Nelson, and what does this do for Antonio Silva? I think this fight makes it so that Roy Nelson is getting back in the picture of things, you know, because if you look at the fight that when he fought the Black Beast, I thought he won that fight. He won the two fights before that. That would be, if it wasn't for a controversial decision, I think he's won. He has three wins in a row. I don't quite have him in a title picture, but I think it's time to put him in the ring with one of the top five guys, and to see if he can get back into the title contention. So I think that's going to go for him. He's one or two fights away from contending for a title. Bigfoot Silva. What do you do with Bigfoot Silva? You know, I thought he looked a lot better this fight. This is the best I've seen him look in a long time. He's lost a number of fights. And the question is, how much longer is Bigfoot going to be fighting? He's been a great ambassador for the fight, for the UFC and the heavyweight division, and for, you know, Brazilian fighters all around the world. But is it that time for Bigfoot to hang it up? I'm starting to lean toward yes, it is that time. And so I hate to make any fighter talk about any fighter giving up or hanging it up too early. But this is one case where, you know, I've been saying this for a little while. I, you know, because he's been such a great ambassador, I hate to see him go out the way he's been going out. So, but I do think it's almost that time for him to call it a career. So, all right. And then we're going to talk about another fight here that happened during this time, which is Nova versus Henan Barão. And you know, the former champ, Henan Barão, actually went up in weight, went up to the featherweight division. And a lot of people were very curious to see how this was going to go down. These are two guys that are trying to get right back into the championship picture. And so, you know, you're looking around and you're trying to say, what's next? And Henan Barão, he's trying to reclaim his career. You know, if you look at his last five fights, he has three losses, two of which are from TJ Dillashaw. So the fact that he's trying to go to a different weight class where, you know, he lost his title to TJ Dillashaw, and then he got his rematch and he ended up losing again, and then he ended up losing to Jeremy Stephens. So the Nova fight actually got him right back into, you know, got him back in the win column and a brand new weight class, which I think was the smart decision for him. I don't know what this is going to do, but I think it's just nice to see Henan Barão get back on track. So we'd like to see where it's going to go from here. Like I said, having two losses, having lost two out of his last three fights, he's not really in the title picture anymore, but he is that name where he can actually end up getting a few more tougher fights. It was by unanimous decision, which I clearly thought he won the fight. So looking forward to seeing what's next for Henan Barão. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about that Invicta FC 19 fight. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
All right, we're back. And we just got done covering the UFC Fight Night in Brazil with Cyborg as the main event, and how Cyborg just pretty much dominated the fight. And we talked a little bit about Roy Nelson and Bigfoot Silva and Hinton Burrell. Now we're going to talk about the fight card that happened the night before, that Friday before. And it showcased the flyweight champion and the atomweight champion of Invicta. So you had Invicta FC 19, which had Modafari versus Jennifer Maia. And then you also had Ayanka Hamasaki versus Jen Yu Fry. That was for the atomweight championship. It was a decent card. It wasn't one of my favorite Invicta cards. And I'll start off by saying that, you know, Invicta, I'm a big fan of Invicta. I love watching and supporting the women fighters. I think they're some of the most interesting fights you can have in UFC or in MMA in general. So when you watch this fight, you know, this was about Roxanne getting her title fight against Jennifer Maia. And I personally didn't think, you know, when you watch the main event, I looked at this fight. It went all five rounds. I scored the fight 4-1. I was completely shocked that it was a split decision, because I don't know how they could have made it that Roxanne, any judge could have made it that Roxanne won 3 rounds on that fight. I was actually very disappointed in the way Roxanne fought, actually. So I didn't see any kind of way that it would have been a split decision. I had it 4-1. And so that was an interesting fight. The fight that really got my attention was Ayanka Hamasaki, the atomweight champion, against Jen Yu Fry. And Jen Yu Fry, I had never seen her fight, being honest. But when I watched this fight, and Hamasaki is one of the fighters that a lot of fighters may not know who she is. She's 14-1. She's an atomweight champion, and she's been doing this for a long time. And she's been one of the toughest fighters, fighters to beat in all of mixed martial arts. But I'm watching this fight, and I look at the first round, and I have Jen Yu Fry winning that first round. Second round, I got Jen Yu Fry winning that second round, and it looks like, I turn to one of my colleagues, and I say, we're going to have a new champion today. Fry's going to be the champ. Right when I say that, there's only like seconds left in the round, Hamasaki throws an overhand right that just clips Fry right on the eye, and I didn't mean for that to rhyme, but it did. But she clips Fry on the eye there, and blood comes. You see blood coming out, and it's like, whoa. And then the referee stops to take a look at it, and this is a deep, nasty cut. And I'm telling you, I don't think Hamasaki has any answer for Fry in this fight. But that overhand right landed flush, and it ended up being such a bad cut that it ended up being a doctor stoppage, in which Hamasaki ended up keeping her atomweight title. And You know, that's part of being a champ. Sometimes you got to be good. Sometimes you got to be lucky. Things got to go your way. You can't sometimes. And this is one of those days where the luck, or you can say because it was her overhand right, but it was one of those situations where it looked like it wasn't Hamasaki's night, but by circumstances, it ended up being her night, and she ended up winning. So that was a really interesting fight. But one of the things I wanted to talk about is Invicta. And like I said before, I want to preface this by saying Invicta is one of my favorite organizations. My number one favorite organization is without question the UFC. My number two favorite organization is Invicta, followed by Bellator, followed by ONE FC, then World Series of Fighting. But that's my big five. And there's other ones that I watch out there as well. So when I say the things I'm about to say here about Invicta, no, it comes from a fan's point of view of I appreciate them. I don't understand what Invicta is doing when it comes to promoting its organization. For numerous times, you have a situation where if you have an event, and this is going to be a televised event, which people around the world are going to be watching this fight on Fight Pass, first thing is, shouldn't you have, if this is Invicta 19, shouldn't you already have your card for Invicta 20 already set up so that during the fight, you're promoting the big fight that's going to come up next? What's next for Invicta 19? After Invicta 19, it's Invicta 20. And it's going to showcase, you know, Tanya Evinger or something like that. The thing that I think Invicta is missing is someone that can truly promote the organization. And I think they missed the boat on so many, many opportunities. I feel like they cut too many corners. When you watch the weigh-in, I watch a UFC weigh-in or I watch a Bellator weigh-in, and you know you're excited about the fight. When you watch an Invicta weigh-in, it's just kind of like, I feel like spend a little more money, make it more you know grander. There's a lot of things that an Invicta can do to really promote themselves. Make the weigh-in grander. You know, make your, you know, find you five, six or so fighters that are your top stars and promote the heck out of them. I don't know why, you know, the fact that, you know, the night after this event, Chris Cyborg, which is their 145-pound champion, they should have been promoting the heck out of the fact that their 145-pound champion will be fighting on the UFC. I would have promoted the heck out of the fact that her top contender for that title would be Megan Anderson. So I'd have had Megan Anderson. I'd have rolled her out there, and I'd have done some interviews with her. I would have talked about, you know, when you're talking about the flyweight or the atomweight title or the bantamweight title, where was Angela Hill? Go in there and promote Angela Hill. Bring her into the ring. Ask her questions. Get people to know who Angela Hill is, who your bantamweight champion is. She's your strawweight champion. Bring in Tanya Evinger, who is the bantamweight champion. Promote her. And if you're worried about Tanya saying something, then have a pre-recorded interview or something. But you need to promote your stars and make them bigger. Make it so that I'm looking forward to seeing you, Invicta FC 20. There was no mention of Invicta FC 20 because there's no Invicta FC 20 that's scheduled right now. And that's disappointing. There should be, you know, when you have 19, have 20 up. When I can look on the calendar and I can tell you what the UFC and what Bellator is planning on doing till January. Invicta, it's one fight at a time. I don't know who's going to be on the card next. I don't, you know, a lot of times I don't even know who the fighters are. They need to promote their fighters. You should have the Invicta 20 card already laid out so that people can start learning about these fighters. They would become much larger events. That's my biggest gripe when it comes to Invicta. I would like to see them really promote and start to shine a little bit better. But that's, as a whole, I just wanted to give you my take on Invicta, and I wanted to give you my take on the weekend. I really appreciate everyone for tuning in. On our next episode, which will be this week, we're going to touch on a little bit of news, MMA news. Most of it's UFC, about some of the fights that are scheduled. The UFC in New York card that has been laid out. So we're going to touch on a little bit more news. So that's going to be a separate episode. I would like to thank everyone for tuning in. Remember, always, you can always follow us by going to www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can go to Facebook and Twitter, and you can follow us there. And you can also always download us on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. With that, good night, and I'll see you guys later.